Well, I do want to share the Word of God with you today. That is what I came here to do. And so I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 18. Now, while you're turning, you know, I did ask Brent about how long y'all used to stay in church, and he told me about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, so that means I can preach as long as I want to, right? Yeah, just preach as long as you want to, as long as you turn the lights out when you leave. Okay, well, I'll try not to preach so long that I got to turn the lights out when I leave, but I do want to share with you from the Word of God, Luke chapter 18, the parable of the persistent widow, the parable of the persistent widow. With your Bible open to Luke chapter 18, I want to ask you to stand, as you've already done as you read God's Word. I want to ask you to stand one more time as we honor the reading of the Word of God together today. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 1, where the Bible says, "Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, 'Give me legal protection from my opponent.' For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, 'Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will God not bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night, and will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Father, thank you for your word. Speak to our hearts through it for Christ's sake. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Now, it's not often that when Jesus told a parable that right up front in the parable, we're told the reason why he shared the parable. We had this parable is unique in that regard, in that we are told why the parable is shared before the parable ever is shared. In verse 1, it says, "Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and to not lose heart." Now, is this a parable about prayer? Well, I guess you could say yes. It is a parable about prayer, and it is a parable about persistent prayer, certainly. But I think there's something deeper going on in this parable than just the idea that you ought to keep praying all the time and never pray. And that is the last phrase in that sentence in verse 1. It says that they ought to pray and not lose heart. And not lose heart. That is a key phrase. What Jesus is trying to teach his disciples and teach his followers is that you ought to never lose heart. If I could say it this way, never give up on God. And what is a key strategy for never giving up on God? Well, one key strategy is to continue to pray, that as long as you're praying. I mean, what is it that people do a lot of times whenever they give up, whenever they lose heart? Well, they stop praying. What happens is people become discouraged, which brings me to my first point, which is this. We all battle discouragement, all of us. At some time or another, I think every one of us could stand up and share a testimony about something that has happened in our lives, that has happened to us, that has caused us to become discouraged along the way. And listen, it doesn't mean that you don't love God, and it doesn't mean that you're not spiritual. If you get discouraged, this is simply what it means. It just simply means you're a human being. If you look in the scriptures, some of the greatest men of God in all the Bible became discouraged. Like, have you ever heard of this guy named Elijah? Well, there was this guy named Elijah that was real mighty in God. You can read his story in 1 Kings. In 1 Kings chapter 18, we're shown this sort of snapshot in the life of Elijah where he did something really incredible and just unbelievably amazing. And that is he challenged the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah to a challenge. And he says, hey, if my God is the one true God, then let's worship him. But if Baal is the one true God, then, well, my goodness, let me put my God aside and let's worship Baal if he's the one true God. And so he challenged them and he said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to build two altars. And then all of you prophets of Baal will go first and prophets of Asherah. And I want you to call down fire from heaven and ask Baal to consume that altar with fire. And then he says, I'll do the exact same thing. And so the prophets of Baal, they went first. And they built their altar over here. And the prophets of Baal, they start out early in the morning crying out to Baal, praying to Baal, crying, Lord, Baal, consume our altar. They even start cutting themselves. The first cutters were those folks. And so they're cutting themselves and they're tearing their clothes and it's wailing. And what happens? Nothing. Why? Because Baal isn't real. He was a false god and he didn't exist. And so then Elijah says, you know, after he taunts him for a while, he says, okay, enough of that nonsense. And so then he says, all right, now build an altar over here. And this is the one I'm going to call down fire from heaven to have consumed. And he tells some guys, hey, bring some water over here. Put some water. I want to make sure that they understand this is no David Copperfield. There's no magic going on here. This is not a mind freak kind of thing. He says, take the altar, put water, bring some more water. I want more. I want everybody to know that when this thing happens, everybody's going to say, yeah, God did that. And so they did. They put more water and pour more water. And then Elijah calls down fire from heaven. If you've read the story, you know the story. Down from heaven comes fire. Now, and the altar was just consumed by fire in an instant. And so everybody was absolutely amazed by this, as they should be. This was a mighty move of God, and Elijah was used mightily. Well, the prophets of Baal and Asherah were killed, and then somebody got mad. Her name was Jezebel. And when Jezebel got mad the next day when she heard about this thing, she's the wife of the king, she says, the same thing is going to happen to Elijah that happened to those prophets. I will see to it. And so here Elijah is, he's called down fire from heaven and the altar is consumed. The next day you flip over a page, he takes on 850 dudes and then one chick gets after him and then he flees out into the wilderness, and he gets under a tree and he basically says to God, I want to die. I don't want to live anymore. Just kill me, Lord. Here's this guy that the day before was calling down fire from heaven and was being used by God in an unbelievable way. And yet the very next day we see him so depressed and we see him so discouraged that he says, God, please just kill me. I don't want to live anymore. I don't know if any of you in here have ever gotten to a place like that, where you just felt like you were just so discouraged with your circumstances and what had happened that you just don't want to go on any longer. Well, Elijah was certainly a guy that battled discouragement, but then there was another guy that battled discouragement. His name was David, and David was the king when Israel was in its glory days, when it was the most powerful nation on the earth, the most powerful army on the earth. They were a superpower, the superpower that everybody looked to as being the strongest nation on the face of the earth. And yet David, being one of the mightiest guys in the world at that time, a commander certainly of the greatest army, and he was also referred to this way, a man after God's own heart. That's the way the Lord referred to him. The Lord referred to David as a man after God's own heart. And yet one day he sits down and takes out a pen and he starts writing what we now know as the Psalms. And here's what comes out. He says, O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God. The mightiest man on the face of the earth, people are saying about him that, God has forgotten all about you. God's not paying attention to what's going on with you. Your God is not with you. He has abandoned you, and that's why your adversaries are now rising up against you. And so what happened? He comes discouraged, and people are trying to tell him this. Hey, listen, God has forgotten you. Well, I think this is another thing that we need to learn, which brings me to my second point about the parable of the persistent widow, and that is this: God cares. He really does. Now, I think this is one of the chief strategies that the enemy uses with God's people whenever they become discouraged. He tries to get you discouraged and say to you and kind of whisper in your ear, hey, listen, God doesn't care about your situation. Hey, we all know, like, God's all powerful, and that, yeah, God is powerful enough that if the right man at the right time, the right circumstances, calls down fire from heaven, that God can consume an altar with fire. And so sometimes, you know, the enemy kind of puts that thing in the back of our minds, this script that is running that says, hey, if God is powerful enough to do something about that, then why hasn't he taken care of your situation? Why hasn't he done anything about your circumstances? And this is what the enemy tries to convince you of. He says, God doesn't care about you. Well, the parable of the persistent widow is here to teach us that God does care about us. And he cares about those that are less fortunate, and he cares about us, and he cares about our plight. It says here, there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. But he was unwilling to do it. But after a while, it says, because she keeps wearying me, because she keeps wearing me out. Now, the word that is translated there, wearing out, you know what it literally means? I mean, this is kind of like an idiomatic expression. It literally means poking you in the eye. I mean, wouldn't that get on your nerves? Like, some of you are doing it right now. It's not really just poking you really hard where you're poking, but just kind of, you know, just kind of messing with. I mean, I don't want anybody's hands up in here. You know, I'm like, get out of my face if you start trying to put your hand. And so it's just something that's really annoying. And so that's what he says. He says, hey, listen, this lady was annoying me by coming to me asking for justice against her adversary. And you know what? Let me give this woman what she wants so she would just leave me alone. Now here's the messed up thing. The guy in the parable, he's an unjust judge. The Bible says he doesn't care about God, and the Bible says he doesn't care about man. He doesn't care what people think. This is an unloving, all he cares about, who does he care about? He cares about himself. And the only reason that he's going to do anything for this widow is because, bottom line, is he just wants to get her off his back. If I give this woman what she's asking for, I wonder if she will just leave me alone. Now, the whole idea, now this is where we can mess up. We can mess up by thinking, okay, God's like that. What God wants you to do is he just wants you to persist and persist and persist and persist. And when God finally gets tired of you talking to him about the same thing over and over, then maybe he'll finally do something about it. No. In this parable, what the Bible says is that God is not like that unjust judge. He is a just God. It says in verse 7, now will God not bring about justice for his elect who cry out for him day and night? Will he delay long over them? Why? Because he is a good God. He is a good father, and he cares about you, and he loves you. Now here's where the rubber is going to meet the road for us a little bit. See, I think this might be our problem. A lot of times, we misunderstand why it is we're even here and why we even have a relationship with God in the first place. Church, the primary purpose of our relationship with God is not so that we can treat him like a genie in a bottle and get what we want out of him for this life for ourselves. That is not what our relationship with God is supposed to be all about. No, why is it that we are here? Whatever you do, whether you eat, whether you drink, and everything that you do, do it all for why, church? The glory of God, right? So everything that we're to do for his glory. Now, and so God doesn't exist so that we can call up to heaven to get him to do for us everything that we want him to do. We are here for his glory. Now listen, whenever we call on the Lord and whenever we pray to him, that sometimes, yes, he's going to say no to us. It is not always God's will to provide for you instant relief to whatever your circumstance may be. In fact, it may be, God's will may be exactly the opposite. The will of God may be not for you to be delivered from your circumstance, but it may be that he wants to deliver you through your circumstance. I mean, the Apostle Paul prayed 3 times. He said, "Hey, Lord, take this thorn out of my flesh." There was given to him a thorn in his flesh, a messenger from Satan to buffet him, the Bible says. And he prayed 3 times that this thorn in the flesh might be removed. We don't know what the thorn in the flesh was. We don't know exactly. A lot of people have speculated about what it may have been, that it may have been some sort of physical illness. It may have been some sort of addiction. We don't know exactly. I think he left it kind of an open door on purpose. But this we do know, that Paul prayed 3 times earnestly, "Remove this thing from me. God, take it away from me. God, I can't take it anymore. Please remove it from me." And then what happened? After he prayed 3 times, the Lord changed his prayer. And he said, "Okay, Lord, you're going to let me keep this thing. You're not going to take it away from me. Because this thing that you've put in my life, this difficulty, this addiction, whatever, this thing that you've allowed to happen to me, you're not going to just take it away miraculously." Why? Because his grace is sufficient. And see, sometimes that's what God wants to do. God wants to teach us about his all-sufficient grace by not always delivering us from whatever it is that ails us. But a lot of times what he wants us to do is learn to depend on his strength to take us through whatever it is that we're having difficulty from. Listen, man, it's easy to praise God when he gives you an instant healing. Man, it would be so easy to praise God if you have financial difficulty and then all of a sudden from out of nowhere, man, somebody just drops a $5,000 check in your mailbox and you don't know where it was from, an anonymous donor that just said, God told me you wanted to have this, and you get totally out of your financial jam. Man, it would be so easy to praise the Lord in situations like that. But hey, what about when it's not going so well? What about when there is financial difficulty? What about it when there is illness? Hey, let me ask you this. Is God still good? Is he? Is God still good even when everything is not going exactly the way we want it? Well, what the enemy wants to try to tell you is that he doesn't care. That if he did care, he'd pay attention to your situation and he'd do something about it. Well, let me tell you something. God always does something about it. What does he do? He gives us his power and he gives us his strength. And he gives us what we sang about this morning, which is his amazing grace that is sufficient for the hour. God cares. And because God cares and because he is a good God, then finally, what do we know that we can do as a result of that? We can trust God. See, bottom line is, God wants us, church, to have faith. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to trust him when things are going well. He wants us to trust him when things are not going so well. He wants us to believe that he is a good God regardless of our circumstances. And I just simply want to ask you in closing this morning, Where are you with that? Maybe life has dealt some very difficult blows your way lately. Maybe you are just right in the middle of it. Maybe you are just going through a major trial. Maybe it's a health problem. Maybe it is a health problem of a family member. Maybe it's financial difficulty or relational tension or something going on with your job at work. I don't know what it may be, but this I do know. God cares, and you can trust God with your future. But here's what you don't need to do. And here's, church, where the rubber meets the road. Are you going to give up? See, because what was the purpose of this parable? The purpose of this parable is he told them a parable so that they might always pray and not give up. Not lose heart. But this is what the enemy wants to try to get you to do. He wants to try to get you to give up on God. To throw in the towel on the Lord. This Christianity thing, man, just ain't working for me. And I am done with this mess. If this is the way it's going to roll, then I'm not interested in the Christianity thing, and I'm just going to walk away from it. And listen, that is what the enemy wants you to do. And here's what God is saying. Here's what God is saying. I care. I know sometimes it doesn't look like it. I know sometimes it sounds like I'm silent from heaven. But I want you to know that I do care. I do love you, and you can trust me. And you can run with endurance the race that is set before you, going toward the prize, looking unto Jesus, the finisher, the author of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. What can I just sum that up for you? Let me just sum that up for you. What's your example of endurance? Jesus, you've had some tough stuff happen to you. Okay, I get that. What about the cross? Does that sound like a cakewalk to you? Does that sound like a walk in the park? Jesus endured the cross, and he did it for you. And so he is lifted up as our example. And if you want some motivation to keep on keeping on and to not throw in the towel on God, here's some motivation for you this morning, okay? Jesus did it. I can do it too. Jesus did it. I can do it too. Let's pray, and then I'll turn it back over to Pastor and we'll do whatever he tells us to do. Father, I may be praying, Lord, under the sound of somebody who's thought about giving up, somebody who's become discouraged. I pray, Lord, that they won't believe the lie of the enemy, but I pray, dear God, that they will keep in mind, Lord, that you did it, Jesus, and they can do it too. Give them the strength to endure, for Christ's sake, and in his name I pray. Amen.